Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Man of the Match podcast after Liverpool beat Napoli 1-0. Look, it's preview week, so we're on YouTube doing the Man of the Match. We do this every single game. I'm joined by Si and Ross to talk through this. Basically, if you don't know the format, we have a minute to discuss each and every player that we've put forward for our Man of the Match, have a general discussion about all of them, and then take your comments that we've got from Twitter as well. So, we'll start it off. Straight away, Simon, who's it gone for?
James Milner.
James Milner, okay, interesting.
It was one of them weeks this week where you could have picked anyone.
Yeah.
Like sometimes we struggle when we've had a loss. We sometimes struggle to do these shows, but we still try our best to try and talk through the positives of each game. I was looking forward to this show this week because I knew, we have like first pick, so I think Ross had first pick this week.
Yeah. I still changed my mind three times this morning, thinking from Milner to Alisson.
I wish I had first pick this week, but this week I didn't mind do have first pick because I knew that I'd be able to talk.
Well, before we go on to this, we put a poll out every single time on Twitter because we want to know your thoughts. That's what this show's about, really. 14% picked James Milner, 40% said Mo Salah, 18% said Jordan Henderson, and 28% said other. And we had like 100 comments, which just shows just how many people are saying.
Because you picked Henderson, Tom.
I picked Henderson. I'll tell you why. And a lot of people have had a go at me, but fantastic. But that's for later. But just shows just how many players you could have picked, just how divided we had on who was so good because everyone was. But look, we'll get straight into it anyway. Si, your minute on James Milner starting now.
So when the team came out, there was so much fume I saw it on Twitter, and I was expecting it as well, to be fair, if that team came out. Like people saying, hello, Europa League, we're going to be... shut up. I wasn't sure about the midfield myself, but they were absolutely incredible. I could have picked any one of the three, but I did think Milner was the best. He was all over the pitch, making tackles and interceptions everywhere and then popping up, receiving passes high up, making through passes stuff. Made 5 tackles more than any Liverpool player, 5 aerial duels more than any Liverpool player, 54 passes. Matip and Robertson had more, but you kind of expect that when we're trying to keep possession higher up in defence. Milner was always coming up and made 5 key passes. Only Trent had more with 6. 5 key passes is a lot for a game of foot. We do this a lot. 5 key passes is a lot. You very rarely see that. He plays the ball through to Salah for the goal. Salah still does an awful lot there, but Milner makes it for him by playing a perfectly weighted pass. And I just thought it was a perfect midfield performance. I love him. In those type of games, them big European games, he's like a man possessed, the way he's just everywhere and he just looks like no one can stop him. We've got some big games coming up in the Champions League and he should be playing in every single one of them.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with all that. What we'll do is we'll have a round of discussion, obviously, about Jamie Milner shortly. Mm. We're going to go straight on to the one who 40% of our Twitter poll said was Man of the Match, Ross.
Therefore, I was right.
Sometimes the masses are wrong.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe not in this instance because he was fantastic. But your minute on Mo Salah starts now.
Cool. So Mo Salah back out on the wing again. I thought he was superb. He was a threat from the start, getting himself in the right positions. He should have scored in the first 5 minutes of that first touch. He fucked it up. And his goal, watched about this morning, is just... it's just ridiculous, isn't it? So basically I'm just going to talk through that for a minute. Rolls the left back, not arse, just pushes him out of the way, shoves him, gets to Koulibaly, one of the best centre-halves in Europe, sends him for the echo, drops his shoulder, goes straight past him, and then he has the balls to nutmeg the goalkeeper. Arguably he should have passed, but he didn't. It's just a brilliant goal. And then his celebration as well, we spoke about this a lot this week, I think, alone. And you know, everyone's saying he's not happy, he's miserable and stuff, that just needs to get in the bin, because it's like, fucking look at me, look how good I am. He's confident, he wants to be part of this team and he wants to win stuff. It's an elite mentality he's got of going, no, I'm capable of doing this shit and everyone watch me, look how good I am. The only criticism I could have of him is should I have more goals. That first one, and I think there's one later on where he just puts it just wide, he makes a wrong decision again. But I just thought, he's always a threat. You know, he going from being centre forward at the weekend to that and chopping and changing all the time. But he was just bang up for it. And I thought he was superb.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Yeah. We'll just round it out before we have this big discussion. I've gone for Jordan Henderson.
Fucking hell, Tom.
I know, a lot of people not happy with that, but I'll tell you why. Well.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Look, first half he did start a bit slow, and I think compared to the other midfield performances, first half he wasn't up to it, but then second half he came out like a completely different player. Obviously Klopp's had a word, and he was snapping into tackles, like getting in there straight away, high up the pitch as well when he knew he had the cover. He didn't do it like mindlessly. He knew James Milner was behind him. He can go in there and he sets up that chance for Mo Salah and he drags it to the side. You think, wow, he's fantastic here. And he made 10 interceptions on the night. And a lot of that was towards the end of the game when we're pressing high up, they're getting tired, they're just putting balls anywhere they can to try and get it up the pitch. And he's in the perfect place every time. Every single time I saw them play the ball up, he was in the right area to try and block it. And he passed it well, but that's his usual job in midfield. But he added more than that yesterday. He charged forward, he was brave on the ball, he pretty much every time made the right decision, and he was even shooting. Like, sometimes that's the right decision in that time, and he did it right, you know what I mean? He for me, just stepped it up and got us over the line there completely and utterly. Like I say, we went through the poll before, 14% James Milner, 40% Mo Salah, 18% Jordan Henderson, and 28% said other. Before we go through some of the comments, let's just talk about Mo Salah.
Yeah.
He gets the goal, Si. He was a constant thorn in Napoli's side, and he was pushing the left back over.
Yes.
The way he beat him wasn't to turn him. He literally threw him to the ground.
The first half especially, he was just absolutely incredible. Like, just such a threat constantly. Koulibaly was brilliant yesterday,
yeah.
And Salah was still getting past him every time.
Yeah.
Like, how many times was Koulibaly doing exactly the right thing, doing things that most centre-backs in Europe can't do, and Salah was still beating him every single time? Like, he just had them. Like, the left back had absolutely no chance. The left back had an absolute nightmare. But then you've got top class defenders who still have got no chance, because again, like I used the same phrase for Milner in my thing. He looked like a man possessed last night. Mm. Like, he was just
that's
incredible.
That's part of that celebration as well, wasn't it? It's his game face, like, he's set to go and win stuff. But like, I bet Cook would be almost like going, Koulibaly's gone.
Yeah,
I'm toast there. I'm not saying that's so fucking bad now, am
I? Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, there was a few instances he gave the ball away at the edge of the box, but that's because he was trying one-touch plays up and down the pitch. The amount of times we'd run up the pitch and it'd just be one-touch stuff, and we got really unlucky in terms of the final pass didn't come
off. Some of his passing was dead cut, though, because I think it was 4-on-4, and he was waiting for something to happen, and Robertson made an overlap, and that ball he just put through. I think he went through to Marnie, and Marnie went straight to the goalkeeper in the end. But he's creating stuff as well. He's putting himself in positions and allowing other people to be the forefront of attack.
Yeah.
Because that's part of our team spirit and what we have now. It's not like someone needs to be the focal point. It's a team game, I know that, but like the team spirit we have of going, well, it's your turn to go forward, now you go and make something happen. Mm. And he's part of that.
As good as he was, that finish, like early into the second half where he puts it just past the post, then he's only a few yards out, that's poor.
Yeah.
And there was a few chances like that, Mane was guilty of it as well, where...
That was easy to score on his goal.
If Napoli had got the goal, like Alisson doesn't make that save late on, then we're ruining them chances, and Salah's nowhere near man of the match. We're probably saying, no, he missed a huge chance. Same with Mane. As it is, we kept him out, it doesn't matter. He got the decisive goal in it, and you can just talk about how good his performance was on the whole, which was fantastic.
If we're talking about goals, though, that goal is unreal. Yeah. I didn't realise how he scored it, because I was in the cop, other end of the ground. I'm thinking, how has he got it through? We've got the covered everywhere, and then I saw the Spurs goal. Puts it through his legs.
Where he drops, second goal, he's dropped his shoulders.
It was very similar to the Spurs goal.
Fantastic. And then let's move on to the midfield as a whole was just on top form, wasn't it? It battled for us, it got us over the line, and we spoke before the game, a lot of people were saying, not enough creativity, a lot of people moaning on my starting 11, saying Jordan Henderson's not good enough, we've seen this not work away from home in Europe. Home in Europe's a different prospect. We just look such more of a unit, don't we?
But we were talking about this morning in the office, and that's obviously the midfield that got us to a Champions League final, which people were more than happy with. But I think we're all guilty of having a narrative on people that if they have a poor run of games, then they're immediately shit. Mm. I've done it with Joel Matip, and I'm eating my words now because the past two games I think he's been superb. But should people do it with Jordan Henderson? Because I don't think he's not been as consistent as he was in 13, 14. No. He's never got back to that form. And then when he plays, he is shit. And then you look at his last game was probably Watford, where he was shit and he got sent off. So that's your last vision of Jordan Henderson. You're thinking, well, he's not good enough for the team anymore.
Yeah.
But he clearly is because he's captain of the club. He was captain of England. Yeah. He's been around for a while.
These games are a different story, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like I saw someone, I think it was Andrew Beasley, I might be wrong, put up a couple of weeks ago. It was after the PSG game and that was the big talking point, wasn't it? The midfield isn't good enough and all that. And he put up the stats, points per game, when that midfield has played together. And the points per game weren't good. Like as a midfield, they haven't got a particularly good record together. No. But those big home games in Europe seem to be a completely different story. They played the similar midfield against Man City in the league last season, I think. I know Chamberlain played against Man City at home in the Champions League. But PSG at home, that last night, when they've got the crowd behind them and they've just got the energy and the legs to just get all over the pitch and they know nullifying threats and covering each other and then coming and passing the ball around and making runs to try and pick the ball up, having shots at goal. There's no way you can play against them.
It's almost not a three-man midfield either, because when I was trying to do my player ratings and I watched the highlights and stuff back, people even defenders in attack, like Firmino's another midfielder essentially, isn't he? Yeah. Robertson's another winger.
Yeah.
People just everywhere over the pitch because they want to work for each other, so it's not a three-man midfield. Well, Milner was like a right back at points last night because he was helping Trent.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. The man we haven't spoken about in the midfield is Gino Wijnaldum, and he was fantastic once again. Mm. And it was him getting up the field. It was him facilitating the 1-2s up and down the pitch. And it was him at the end of the game, knackered, no legs left, keeping hold of the ball and just seeing the game out. And that's composure at the highest level. It's a 1-0 Champions League win. And we're all nervous in the crowd. I didn't have the bottle to sing You'll Never Walk Alone because I was just so nervous. Everyone's like, just get rid of it. Hoof it up. And he went, no, I'm going to turn the man three times and I'm going to play to the wing, lads.
But that comes back to what you said on Monday about people going through that Champions League experience last season and using that to in games like this. It's a learning experience for them all.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have a look at some of your comments anyway. At Kulvich on Twitter says, difficult pick, but I will go with Mo Salah. Not just that he scored, but his all-round performance was much, much more better than we have seen. Not sure Mario Rui or Koulibaly will sleep well for some time. Mm. Yeah, I agree with that. And then next, I've got two more left, but we'll just speak about this one. MC Dalton says, Robbo consistently good throughout the 90 minutes and some brilliant interceptions and runs forward. Yeah. Robertson. Like, he would be my next pick after Jordan Henderson. Just let it be known I was their pick. Mm. But Robertson, oh my word. Some of the breakaways, some of the balls that he played in, if for a better touch or a better finish,
for Mo Salah, was that he kind of like chipped, curled it on a half volley, but it was straight to his feet.
That was another one that you might end up doing after the game, mightn't you? But what a ball, and just like constantly a threat. He's always tackling people. I absolutely adore him.
I put my play ratings. I can copy and paste it every week and just go same thing. He's up and down the wing. Like I said the other day, he allows Marnie to do what he wants to do and express himself in freedom because he's either in front of him, distracting the right back, or he's inside of him. It's just ridiculous. And he's always defending. So I work out how he goes from being up the pitch all the time to being positionally astute and being where he is.
Yeah. If any other left back that we've had in my lifetime at Liverpool puts in that performance last night, I'm going, wow, that's the best left back performance I've ever seen, because he's doing it week in, week out. It wasn't even that remarkable what he did last night.
It's normal.
I bet Moreno fucking hates him.
Yeah. but he needs to raise it. If Moreno can start putting balls in like that and consistently get up and down, be positionally aware, like you said, and go into tackles strong and come away with the ball and never let your head drop no matter what, then Moreno gets well, Moreno gets in the team if he can do that. But I don't know many left backs in world football who can do that. And he just, like, the word is consistent. Not once has he had a bad game, really, where it's cost us. Maybe Napoli away, because there was that one lapse in judgment.
But he did it last night as well. He missed the ball.
He did miss the ball.
He was unlucky. They should have probably scored.
Everyone makes the odd mistake in the game, but it's how you bounce back for the rest of the game, and he was perfect.
It was that breakaway where we get 4-on-4, and Gini Wijnaldum puts the slide tackle in, fantastic, and he charges up with it, and it ends up with Mane hitting it straight to
Raspina,
and you're thinking, that started from Robertson coming up, and he's a winger, he's a fullback, he might be my favourite player in the team.
Oh, he's by far my favourite player in the team. And he's possibly my favourite player that's ever played for Liverpool.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And you're looking at Alisson, let's talk about him. Adam Azmi says, Alisson, such a commander between the post. Big shout to John Matip too, what a rock he's been for the last two games for Gomez. Alisson, first and foremost, that save, like, he's put in some world-class saves before, but I think someone put that he's just earned us 7.5 mil with that save, because we got
10 million. We get 7.5 million for going through, but a group stage win on its own is 2.5 million as well.
Who have we bought for 10 million?
That's more than Andy Robertson. That save, isn't it?
And with change as well.
Yeah.
That's a £10 million save.
That's Andy Robertson and Joe Gomez almost.
With that one save.
No, seriously, though.
And just all game, just calm, he's a calming influence, keeps everything safe. There was a time he came out the box and you're thinking, oh, what's going to happen? And he just shepherds it back into the box, catches it, he plays it out to the wing.
Time wasting. The ball goes out and the player puts the ball on his goal kicks before us. He picks it up and walks slowly over to the other side of the 6-yard box, and the whole crowd cheers him and goes mad. Because look at the state of what they were doing in the first half when we were chasing the game. They were wasting like I've never seen anything. And that was in the first half. And so we do it back and it's brilliant.
Yeah, I hate when Ben Foster does it.
Yeah.
But it's just not, we've never normally do it, do we? Apart from Carey's time waste when he shouldn't do.
Yeah.
But it is the best goalkeeper I had in my lifetime, the football club. And he said what you just said there of, like, his calm and influence.
Yeah.
And I think we said it on Monday as well. Like, you just don't think that people are going to score. You just sit there, watch the game. That's your sound.
Game after game. He's showing new sides of his game. Like that save, like the shot's pretty much straight at him. But what he does is make himself big.
It makes himself big and
gives that fella pretty much nothing to shoot at.
Yeah.
And like it's not like great reflexes. I thought at first maybe like he actually got his leg up after the shot.
He just
made himself that big that by the time the fella can have a shot, there's nothing he can do. He can't take a touch. He can't pass it. All he can do is hit it at Alisson.
Yeah.
And that's a really underrated quality.
And he finally got his chance, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah.
When he makes that save, and normally you're like, oh, we need to show appreciation to you, seeing Liverpool. No, Alisson, the whole stadium, because we knew how vital that save was. That was the difference between feeling awful and feeling just on top of the world. And
that must make him feel on top of the world as well.
Should do. He deserves all of it.
He's becoming more consistent as well. Not that he hasn't been, but I think we said the other day he doesn't normally get the chances to show what he can do because the defence is so good. And he gets like the odd bit, but he's had to catch a ball. But like the Everton game, he'd spread himself for that as well.
Yeah.
And he's saving us points, but now he's just kept us in the Champions League in the last minute.
And another man who defended really well, kept us into the game, Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
Obviously, he gets a yellow card early on, that cruncher of a tackle, which was a bad tackle.
He
got the ball first and then nearly snapped the guy's leg in half. So that meant he had to be careful, Si, and to be so calm and composed, nullify everything and be 100% sure of what he's doing so he doesn't get sent off. Wow.
Like a lot of centre-backs, if they get a booking early on in the first half, you're worried for the rest of the game. Like, no one was worried about Van Dijk because, he very rarely gets a booking.
No. That was the first time I've seen him go to the ground for a while.
Yeah.
And he got a yellow for it.
Normally, he's just so... And it was a great tackle. And I know you can't do it 20 years ago, you probably can't do it.
Yeah.
And like the uproar when the ref gave it, obviously you see it back. And
it's a bad tackle.
Yeah, you've got the argument that it could even be a red card. But it's still good to see someone winning the ball with that tackle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the rest of the game was just incredible.
And it was his tackling after that, Ross, where he gets across, but he's so positionally aware that what can the attackers do in terms of the running up? And he's there constantly, but he's shadowing his man perfectly. He's commanding the whole back line. Oh, my God.
He wasn't afraid to put the ball out for a corner or a throw-in either.
Exactly.
Like if he was under even a little bit of pressure, he's like, no, I'll put it out for a corner or a throw-in because we can defend it, it's fine.
Yeah.
We've never had that either. No. I don't think it in my time. Yeah. And even past 2-3 seasons, it's, you know, our attack has been our main threat. And people, you talk about people being scared of the front three. But you're an attacker. I think Troy Deeney said it, like, he hates playing him. Because you can't do anything about it. And then what if you get past him, well, then you've got Alisson to get past. Or he raises everyone else's game as well. Mm. But Joel Matip's been superb the past two games for me. But I think that's a reflection on Van Dijk as well, because he's taking charge of that back line, whereas Matip was supposed to be Van Dijk years ago. And he doesn't have that in his locker, the ability to do that. He just wants to play his own
second
game.
Second half especially. I thought the first half there was a few dodgy passes in that from Matip, but the second half he was just, again, absolutely perfect into half performance.
Yeah, and again, credit to Klopp there by just galvanising the team at half time and going, this is what you're doing wrong, Henderson, this is what you're doing wrong, Joe Matip, this is what you're doing wrong. Mm. And then we go out there and enact it all. A man I want to talk about just before we're going to slowly start wrapping up is Bobby Firmino. Well, yeah.
We've actually thought we got through to the last 16,
you know
what
I mean? It's who's the goalkeeper?
Sacco.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, look, Bobby Firmino, for me, his passing was brilliant today, his hold up play was brilliant, but it wasn't like over the top stuff, he just kept it moving. The same way like Henderson keeps it moving, but Bobby Firmino keeps it moving higher up the pitch, keeps it all fluid, keeps it going. The little like flicks round players for the midfielder running past them. Unbelievable. You're thinking, where's he gonna go with this? Oh, he's just literally flicked it with the outside of his foot, 2 yards past the midfielder, took him out the game, and he's starting to come into his own. We've seen him had a bit of a dip in form, Ross, but
that's by his own standards, though, isn't it?
Exactly,
I think, and that's why we're a critical. And then he's still my favourite player, and has been for the past season and a half.
Yeah.
In fact, I know since he did Soldado with that little thing against Villarreal, I was like, I was right in front of me. I was like, okay, sold.
Yeah.
It is by his own standards. He's knackered, but he runs his bollocks off every game. And I know it gets to a point where you need results and you need some sort of consistency from him.
Mm.
But he provides so much more. Like I said before, you know, it's a four-man midfield essentially. Because when we don't have the ball, he drops deep and comes back and wins it and then plays it to whoever else. So he's selfless because he's not asked about scoring goals.
Yeah.
His assists and goals might not be as high as it have been, but he's still putting performances in, week out. And even when he came on as a sub the other week, he was like, I think he just needed a rest.
Yeah.
And I think it was Burnley the last 15 minutes he came on and I thought he was brilliant, and he has been since.
Yeah, no, he's just coming into back where we need him to be. So
again, you're talking about all them chances that we probably should have scored. If they go away, then it's so much of that, especially Mane getting in behind, if Bobby Firmino dragging defenders all over the place. Quite often he's the one playing the ball through to him as well. Yeah, he was absolutely amazing, and hopefully he does it again against Man United.
My word, me and Si spoke about it, and he's played every single European game under Klopp, which is madness to
sure
me.
From the Europa League and then 2 seasons in the Champions League.
And he's been instrumental. Even when he's not had a good game, he's been instrumental. When I say good game, I mean having an impact in terms of goal scoring.
Yeah. But his role's changed as well. So putting Salah up top means he has to come deeper.
Yeah.
And he's not in there, whereas last night he was a nuisance because he was further up the pitch.
Yeah.
And like you said, he was dragging people away. How are you supposed to defend that if he doesn't have a set position? How are you supposed to mark him? And then you have to worry about everyone else. It's like the Robertson, Salah and everyone else that's coming forward. Or Trent.
Yeah.
This makes us a better team.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, that was the Man of the Match. You've seen us. Basically, we talk through all the player performances. But the final word is going to be coming out shortly as part of Free View Week as well. So that's going to be on the YouTube channel shortly. Basically, that's going to go in-depth on what we've sort of talked about there, but more so the moments of the game, the goals, the atmosphere, just the whole package, basically, is the final word.
Something I wanted to talk about, but I thought I'd probably leave it for the final word, is I didn't think we had that performance in us.
Yeah.
Like 1-0. As I say, I'm sure it'll go more in depth, but for us to grind out that defensive performance, Like it shows how much we've come on as a team, doesn't it?
Yeah, it should have been more though.
Yeah, should have been.
Yeah, but one person we didn't speak about was Mane, and he could have had
just purely because I don't want to end it on a down though. He should have finished loads of shots, but he was in the right positions anyway. Yeah. So whatever. But
hopefully they go in on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. And he's saving them all up. He's banking them all for United. Yeah. But like I say, all that's getting talked about in the final word, so make sure you don't miss that. Thank you everyone for watching. Leave us your thoughts in the comments. Obviously, like I say, these are our opinions. We want to hear your opinions. We want to know your man of the matches. We want to know why you don't think Henderson was man of the match, why you think I'm stupid. We want to know why Mo Salah is the best player ever and why Alisson has just basically earned us 10 mil and also made his price tag look minuscule in the same 10 seconds.
Put that up, we play ratings.
Did you see what Klopp said in his interview with Carragher?
No.
So Carragher does a Danish telly. And Klopp said, if I knew he was that good, I would have paid double for him.
There you go. Unreal player, man. And yeah, like I say, get on everything on Freeview Week. There's a whole host of shows, that the women's podcast, you've got the newsroom, the final word that we spoke about, we've got the build-up for United coming out shortly as well. Just loads of stuff, loads of boss stuff coming out. Yeah, thank you. I really enjoyed that.
Bets for United, man of the match?
Naby Keita.
Ooh. Yeah, I'd love a Naby Keita. It's either Naby Keita or Fabinho.
It's got Naby Keita red card all over it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a shit house and just take someone out.
Sorted. As long as we win.
Oh, get another match if he does for me.
Yeah, two. Yeah. I'd take out
Fellaini.
The main man, Fellaini. Yeah.
Oh, no, Herrera.
Oh,
fucking hate him.
Yeah, well, that'll all get spoke about. And we'll be back for that next week. Make sure you sign up to the website. Like I say, this is 3 weeks showing you what we do on the website. Yeah. There. So yeah, thank you for watching and we'll see you next time.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.